Hey, no name calling here.
Just differing opinions, going head to head.
With Counterpoint. Here's Alex Pearson on Global News Radio.
8:20, it is time for Counterpoint. My two crew back tonight with Dennis Matthews.
Yay, Dennis is back. Yay, Dennis.
Vice President of Marketing and Communications over at Enterprise Canada. And you heard him, Andy Stinton, who can't contain himself because he's a small businessman.
Actually, you know, Dennis is doing his best impersonation of a lobster today after being out on the golf course.
Oh, yeah, another tough day. Eh? All right, let's talk with about the kind of the narrative that seems to now be the everyday narrative, because every day we wake up and we find out yet another bozo eruption from the NDP side. And late today, we learned that the St. Paul candidate, who is my in my riding of St. Paul, Jill Andrews, put on her social media a very, very offensive racial slur that would get 99% of anybody else fired, back in 2016. And then, of course, the whole day of the campaign really centered on Gurtan Singh, who is the brother to NDP federal leader Jagmeet Singh. And he has now apologized for, I guess, saying F the police in a 2006 protest. And I'll start with you, because you're not the political wonk, Andy, but does, you know, you're the kind of person looking for someone or something to vote for. Are you bothered by, you know, we're up to about 15 candidates?
Yeah, I am. I mean, I'm pretty liberal minded. And the thing about Hitler, though, I didn't like that. But it wasn't enough to sort of term. But the thing about F the police and the Andrews thing, I'm sorry, I listened to a great interview today that was on the station at noon when she was asked about this.
Yeah, that was with Tasha Kearden.
That's right.
She kind of laughs it off, though, and I'm not sure why she kind of takes it so lightly.
What I don't see is why make a stand. And if you really want to show what your party is about and you want me to vote for you, fire this person. Say, get the hell out of here. I'm willing to stand for my morals, even if I don't have somebody in that riding. Just fire their sorry butts. But she isn't, so
well, she's not
on my list.
That's a star candidate for her. But I think this is problematic, and you can speak to the campaign side of it, Dennis. To me, it shows, I mean, they did not vet anybody.
Yeah.
These are basics that would have been caught at the beginning of when you say, hi, can we see your resume?
Yeah, maybe not. You know what? You could be in a scenario here where they just don't really care about people who have these views. Like, that's sort of part of what the NDP is. You know, they're generally a more radical party. But I take a step away from the politics and just, you know, let's put this in real terms. Like, the NDP are competitive in this election. There's a possibility they win. You know, and you've got two candidates who said such vulgar things about the police, we can't even say them on air. You know, I'm wondering which one is going to be the Minister of Community and Correctional Services.
Well, neither way. Well, look, I mean, you know, Mr. Singh is a lawyer. That's all fine and dandy, but he could not be the AG with those views. I'm not sure it would look very good.
Well, it wouldn't look very good, but this is a world where, you know, the NDP sort of, they've been a protest party for a long time. And you look at the PCs or Liberals, they do a lot of vetting and occasionally sort of wing nuts, like, you know, slip through, and that happens from time to time. But for the NDP, you know, they've got a whole slate of them here. We're talking about 15 candidates or so that hold these views, many of them in ridings they could actually win.
Mm-hmm.
But I am thankful we're talking about this, because in Alberta, there wasn't a lot of talk of this before. NDP got elected, and suddenly you're like, holy smokes, look at this, you know, this rogues gallery we have here. And the same thing happened federally in the Jack Layton election, when you sort of got a wave of people and you had an NDP candidate who was partying in Vegas the entire time, and suddenly she's an MP. You know, so I think it's important that the vetting is actually taking place this time. And I'm hopeful that, you know, for the public, they'll look at this and say, are these people really the kind of folks we want governing
us? Forget politics. Isn't it just a general sense of propriety? I mean, you wouldn't say that in mixed company. And I think you come down to social media. Social, like you said, we can't say those words on this radio station.
But I wouldn't say them anyway, because that speaks to character. I would just not talk like that. I would never say this word.
But we're not allowed to say them here. Do people not think about it that Twitter, Facebook is a broadcasting medium, and you can't say those things regardless of anything? And if you do, it's going to come back and bite you in the butt.
Well, I'm pretty thankful for it, actually, because at least we're knowing what they said. You got to make you wonder, what are these people saying in private? Because
this is
what they're sharing with the whole world.
I'm glad, actually. I don't believe that they should be silenced. I don't believe in silencing. This is why I'm such a proponent of freedom of speech. I don't want it driven underground so that I don't know who the loonies are. I'd rather it be right up in my face so that I can avoid you like the plague.
Yeah, but here's what it is. I'm so disgusted. I am disgusted with the whole political thing. After watching the debate and the rest of that, there is nobody I want to vote for because I think they've all got their shades of black. But this speaks to another matter. If this is the sort of person that you want representing you, you know, you can start talking about terrorism. You can start talking about all sorts of undercurrents that could be there in the NDP party. Why the heck didn't Horvath do something about it? Speak out. Free speech is fine, but this goes too far.
Her moment to speak out and show leadership, and I did a monologue on this, was on Friday. You cannot go wrong in criticizing Hitler. It was a moment of leadership. Had she just said, that's it. Yeah. We do not accept this. This will not be tolerated in my party or in this province. And I make that, you know, clear. Fire the candidate. And in that moment, she would have dulled any narrative that the PC or the Liberals were throwing at her.
Yeah, and these folks were dogging, Doug Ford to get rid of Tanya Granicallen.
They did.
And he did. And I think you could easily argue that many of these candidates in the NDP here are actually much worse. You know, these are people who've talked about...
Oh, now we're talking about shades of gray there.
These are people who've talked about...
But she got fired, and then she should have been able to run and let the voters decide, no?
Well, that's up to Ford. I mean, the reason that Horvath never commented, she was at shop at Holt Renfrew.
That's true.
Looking for a nice
handbag.
Don't
be sexist. Yeah, don't be sexist. You can't comment on those things, apparently.
Why not? Everybody goes shopping, and she had a big Holt Renfrew bill.
Apparently that's sexist to criticize that.
Well, put it on Twitter, and 20 years from now, you'll be disbarred from running.
That's true. I could run for the Looney Party.
Well, there'll be one, and you'd be the leader, so there you go. Patrick Brown is going to be appearing on our morning show tomorrow to speak with Mike Stafford and Supriya Dwivedi, and I'll just sort of say, why is he doing media? I think he got shortchanged. I think he got a raw deal, but I don't understand why he would be speaking out. To me, it's politically very selfish.
No, he's big time bitter, and he's in a world where if I can't have it, nobody can have it. And, you know, I look at him, and do I think he was fairly treated? Absolutely not. Do I think there were some problems that have been exposed over time with things that happened under his tenure? I mean, absolutely. I think you'd have to be blind and not paying attention to the campaign to come to that conclusion. But, you know, I just don't know what he's doing here. Just go away.
Sour grapes.
And if you want to rehabilitate your image, like I'm sympathetic to that. I'm more than happy to, you know, praise him for doing that when the time is right. But This is a very important election for his party that he supposedly cares a lot about.
It's important for the people of Ontario.
He doesn't care. He obviously doesn't care. You know, he reminds me, remember when you were little and you had a birthday party and there's always one kid that you didn't want to invite? And Patrick Brown's like that. Let me in. Let me in. And your parents have locked up all the doors. I just don't understand why this guy. But on the other hand, he thinks he got screwed over by Doug Ford.
And that's fair enough. But that you do in a lawsuit with the courts and you write a book. And that's how you rehab yourself. But for me, this is the cynicism of politics where you get these politicians who are so clearly worried about their own power, whether it be Horvath, Patrick Brown or Kathleen Wynne, that they don't actually put the people of the province first.
I don't think. And that's what I've learned this time around from doing this show and paying more attention. I'm not sure that any of the politicians that I see are running actually care about the country. I mean, this whole thing of stop sniping at each other. Tell me what you're going to do for me, not what the other person's not going to do for me, because that doesn't get me anywhere.
Last point to you, Dennis.
No, I just wish Patrick Brown would, you know, go to Hawaii, enjoy the rest of the campaign there, come back afterwards. That's all
he's
I have
getting
to say
married, though.
Don't go away, Matt. Just go away. Yeah. Okay. Quick break here. And when we come back, we're going to talk about how we now own a pipeline. Yeah. And Roseanne Barr, out of a job. We'll talk about that coming up next here on Point. I'm Alex Pearson, and this is Global News Radio.
Hey, no name calling here.
Just differing opinions going head to head.
With Counterpoint. Counterpoint. Here's Alex Pearson on Global News Radio.
8:33, it is Counterpoint with Dennis Matthews and Andy Stinton joining us.
Did you like my interpretive dance?
Is that what it is? Am I funding it?
No,
as long as I'm not funding it.
No, I was just expressing myself through interpretive dance.
It's radio.
I don't pay for it.
Is that working?
It's not working for you.
Okay, fine.
Thanks. Roseanne Barr is quitting Twitter and ABC is quitting her. This is quite a fall for Roseanne. She had a chance to redo and reclaim her fame with her show. It was doing fantastic. They had just renewed for the second year. And she kicked a real hornet's nest by tweeting out that Valerie Jarrett, a former Obama advisor, is the child of the Islamist group Muslim Brotherhood and Planet of the Apes. Surprisingly, Valerie Jarrett, here was her response.
Well, first of all, I think we have to turn it into a teaching moment. I'm fine. I'm worried about all the people out there who don't have a circle of friends and followers who come right to their defense. The person who's walking down the street minding their own business and they see somebody cling to their purse or want to cross the street. Or every black parent I know who has a boy who has to sit down and have a conversation, the talk, as we call it. And those, as you say, those ordinary examples of racism that happen every single day.
No question. It was a rude, crude, lewd, and completely unacceptable comment that she made. She did apologize, but just strictly, I'll come to you for the entertainment side of it, Andy, but politically, mm-hmm. I mean, Valerie played that one with politics very well. She took the high road.
Yeah, she took the high road. She played it well. But, you know, look, she was the victim here, but she didn't pull the whole, you know, like, yeah. She handled it well. But what I will say for Twitter and social media, and I'm actually increasingly loving this, like, people are just exposing their true selves out there, and the world can see it. And, you know, for Roseanne, you know, exposed her true self to the world, and, you know, she's going to face the consequences. We're seeing that with what we were talking about before with these NDP candidates. And we're seeing it there. I think you see it with media. You know, there's a lot of journalists that I used to love and watch, and you know, but suddenly I see them and I see their views on everything, and you know, you realize, well, actually, you sort of see their perspective that maybe I didn't want to see before. And you know, it's been a big exposure for a lot of people, and for a lot, it hasn't gone well, and it hasn't gone well because maybe they're not great people.
Well, I mean, you know, I worked in the record business, as I said before, for years. And I was vice president of a company in charge of promotion. And my job when I went on tour was really babysitting and stopping the artist getting into trouble. And what's happened back in my days, the worst they could do is throw TVs out the window, blow up toilets. One of the best ones actually was, it was The Who, I think. They stood in a hotel lobby and lifted people's luggage up and put super glue underneath it.
So people, that's actually a good idea.
Yeah, well, they manage it and think so. I think now what you've got is you've got these people that think they're bigger than their own publicity. They've read their own biography, and suddenly they have this new way of getting out, not blowing up toilets anymore, but saying stupid stuff on Twitter or whatever it is, and the true person does come out.
Yeah.
But
the
one question I
really hate is people say, oh, he used to work in the record industry, he's still working in the industry. What's so-and-so like? I don't really want to tell you, because some of them are not very nice.
No, a lot of them aren't very nice. And after we saw Tom Cruise jumping on the couch, you realize that some of these stars are only stars because they have such fantastic publicists reining them in and keeping in the crazy. But and I don't want to spend the whole segment on this because I want to talk about pipelines, but can she resurface on another network?
No.
Not even like a specialty?
Because they're toxic, and I'd have to admire ABC for pulling the plug right away.
Well, they're associated with Disney, correct? Are they
ABC,
partnered with
Disney?
Yeah. They could not have kept that. It would have killed their brand.
Yeah, I think one of the other stars on the show quit too in advance.
Yeah, think of all those part of the poor actors on the show.
They're owned by Disney, okay.
Yeah, I don't think she can go anywhere else. Fox, not even Fox would take it. Netflix wouldn't. They just got rid of Kevin Spacey. They don't want to go anywhere near it.
Yeah, wow.
No, she's done. She's toast.
Got to be a tough night in her house.
She could come back as PC leader.
No, NDP leader. What are you talking about? Sorry, but not sorry.
Oh, maybe she can run in some election for the NDP.
She can run in my riding, St. Paul.
Okay.
No? Okay. Okay, let's talk a little bit about Canada in the pipeline business. I woke up and heard this news and my head exploded. I glued it back together. I am so angry about this because it is everything wrong in how this country is supposed to be run. We now bought a $4.5 billion pipeline that, I will point out, was already owned by a company that was willing to take the risks, willing to do the hard work. And now all of a sudden, Dennis, we've nationalized energy. I mean, Mr. Trudeau has made his father look like a saint when it comes to energy.
Yeah, and this is just so frustrating. It's not easy to do. Yeah. No, and this is so frustrating because you have a private company with their own capital, with their own investors, who are not even looking to build a new pipeline. They're just looking to twin or expand an existing pipeline.
Yeah, the thing is, it's built.
And I actually grew up like right near it, and it goes through my hometown. And you know, it boggles the mind because this company wanted to build it, and it was hung up through a million different regulatory issues. It was hung up through the courts, hung up through protesters. You know, the government doesn't have to buy this thing to get it built. They could have just got out of the way and this thing would already be done. So, you know, it's so frustrating. We've now bought a 60-year-old pipeline, we the taxpayer.
And it's not going to be $4.5 billion. It's probably going to be about $20 billion.
And it's not going to be...
Do you really care?
Yes, I do.
Well, I do.
I do, actually. You know, well, you should.
But you look at the government building things. I mean, we can't even build Navy ships. They've been talking about these for 10
Pickering.
Years.
It was built upside
Pickering.
Down.
Yeah.
But here's the non-wonk. The problem I have is with so many billions of dollars in debt, with trillions of dollars here, that my head explodes because I have trouble balancing my checkbook. And then I hear about this. So today, because I figured it would be a topic, I spent 15 minutes finding the whole story. And it's basically a good idea that we can export to the Far East and not be based on the South. But then this comes along, and I have to admit, maybe I'm an idiot. I just sat there and went, yeah, okay. So we because spent $5 billion. Dollars,
no.
And I don't think the average person is going to give a damn.
I think they should, given that we are looking at hundreds of billions of dollars that go into paying for roads and hospitals and health care and all. We don't need anybody else's oil. We have more than enough.
And this is for exporting it to the Far East.
But we also don't build refineries in this country to bring our own in. We just keep bringing in Venezuelan and Saudi Arabian oil, and I'd rather have our own
Have our own and our own healthy business. But I just imagine a scenario here where, you know, Stephen Harper wins the last election, and he's the one who buys this pipeline from a Texas oil company.
Yeah.
You know, Justin Trudeau would be going nuts.
Well, rightly so.
And But apparently we live in bizarro land where this is like a normal thing for a government to do in 2018.
Not to mention the messages.
Yeah, but they did buy, is it Hibernia? They invested in Hibernia, which has been a total financial success. The oil fields out there.
I don't care if it's a financial success or not. The government shouldn't be doing it.
Oh, so if they do it and make money, that's not okay.
No, it's a dangerous precedent to set.
The government should foster a business climate where business can actually come in and do things. And if business wants to put in a pipeline and they're going to pass every environmental rule into the book, which they have, they should be able to build it.
But I mean, Harper did the same thing with the car industry.
Oh, he did not. Yeah, subsidization, that was different because we were in the middle of a recession. He helped us avoid a financial crisis by subsidizing an industry that, by the way, I don't think should be subsidized.
You know, Andy, I'm a conservative through and through. I don't think that was the right thing to do.
No, you won't find too many conservatives who actually think that should happen.
Dennis and I just agreed.
Yeah, heads explode. There you go. I don't like subsidizing it. Like Bombardier, why are we subsidizing all these damn companies? Toyota, all these, no, it's got it. The corporate welfare, all this stuff has got to stop. All right, guys, you agree?
So, we agree.
Locusts are flying.
Yeah.
The world is now unfolding.
Locusts?
I don't know, whatever they are.
They're doves, not locusts. Okay. Locusts would come and eat us.
Dennis Matthews and Andy Stinn, they would not eat you. Thank you for joining me here Counterpoint. You know what? We are going to talk about the pipeline and why it matters, because it really does matter to you, even though it seems like such an out there thing. We'll talk about that and why next here on Point. I'm Alex Pearson, and this is Global News Radio.
You're listening to On Point with Alex Pearson on Global News Radio.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.